I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, to honor the life of WWE Hall of Famer, Rowdy Roddy Piper, would you please rise as we toll the bell 10 times.
Listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Paul Hogan, we got it for you.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Cast, your almost weekly dose of professional wrestling news and commentary. We do our very best to bring you the show as often as we can. And sometimes it's once every 7 days. Sometimes it's twice every 6 days. Sometimes it's once every 8-9 days. We do what we can.
You know, but we try 24 days.
Yes. At least 4 shows a month, you know, from us.
One show every 7.8 days. Right? That's what you're getting.
Yeah, that's what you're getting. Lifelong wrestling fan Al John Go here for Live and Uncensored Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Joined once again by my good friend and wrestling historian. The Glove of Injustice will be coming out later on in the show, but he is the wrestling mark for Dr. Death, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
Giant Dr. Death mark. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Crazy ass few days. Sure. Been on the road, getting ready to go on the road again, and I'm just on the road constantly. Yes. And being on the road makes it very difficult to do a podcast. You have suspect internet. You might be on a tour bus. You might encounter Wi-Fi that is suspect in other portions of the Midwest, including Iowa. So that really isn't very conducive to do the show that we're at. And truth be told, it's not very conducive to do the show when you're doing a video show straight to YouTube through Google Hangouts like we're doing now, as well as doing the audio show. It's not always conducive because during the weeknight we have so many issues. We've tried different times of the week, and it's always problematic, you know. And one of the things we could do is to do the show at 5 a.m. when no one's using the internet.
Darling, please.
I know that ain't going to happen. But you heard some great stuff at the top of the show. Mr. Roddy Piper, and I know that it is obviously, you know, time has passed since his untimely passing. The Hot Rod himself, Roderick George Toombs, Hall of Famer from the WWE Hall of Famer class of 2005, and from a guy from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada, passed away July 31st at the age of 61. I left an indelible mark on the industry of professional wrestling. The Hot Rod himself was one of the reasons why I tuned in wrestling's golden era, which was the early 80s, WrestleMania 1 and 2, WrestleMania 3, WrestleMania 9, if I remember correctly, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, historian, you can tell me.
Nine's a bad one.
Okay, I'm trying to remember the years.
He was on 8. I think he was on 8, and he was awesome on 8, though.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'm trying to remember the WrestleManias. I know it was in that era. I see he knows much more about the WrestleManias than I remember to in terms of the names.
I lose track after 21 real bad, so don't worry.
But for a gentleman who, by the age of 15, and this was documented, I believe, on ironically the Steve Austin podcast, he made his pro debut in Winnipeg against Larry Henning,
and he won.
Actually, he lost in 10 seconds on this one, from my understanding.
Right? Yeah, he did. He talks about it on his DVD. It's a really cool story.
Yeah,
Are you going to come to the next town with us? And he goes, is Larry Henning going to be there? Is he going to be there? Because I don't
want to be there if he is.
15 getting beat up by that dude, man. Jeez.
Well, I did not know this, but I knew that he worked with Gene LaBelle and the LA territory, right?
Yeah.
But he was awarded a black belt in judo. Did you know that? He was awarded a black belt in judo from Gene LaBelle. Of course, everyone knows him from the American Judo Champion and instructor, stuntman, who coincidentally helped out a very young Daniel Bryan as well, or Bryan Danielson.
Well, I know he taught him how to shoot.
Yes.
And, you know, he was a pretty tough cat for not a huge guy. But I think more so he was just crazy, man. He was just wild and crazy and willing to take chances in his real life. But yeah, he did learn how to shoot from LaBelle. And California and Oregon is kind of where he got really awesome before we ever saw him in the South at all, or WWF.
Interesting enough, you know, a lot of people thought he was the Mad Scotsman playing a bagpipe, which, by the way, he's an award-winning bagpipist, I guess you could say. You know, he does know legitimately how to play the bagpipes, and he demonstrated that fact on an episode of Legends House on WWE, which, by the way, is a great watch if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, good show.
But, musician, martial artist, definitely he could shoot in terms of fighting. But as you said, just a crazy, crazy individual. Now, I was not smartened up to his early work in the AWA until, you know, I was way into an adult. You know, when I was a kid, I just knew him from the WWF at the time, and basically the whole rock and wrestling connection, the feuds with Mr. T and Cyndi Lauper and all that good stuff. But I always thought he was Scottish, and then come to find out he's from Saskatoon, from Canada. He's a Canadian, really?
Well, you know, his Portland wrestling is where he was really awesome with Don Owen, and he was very indebted. He was a heel and a baby face for Owen in the 70s and early 80s, and he was so indebted to Owen later on that he wouldn't do WWF shows in 84 and 85. He wouldn't do the house shows in Portland because it was the old school NWA don't cross the territory thing. He loved Don Owen. He did a show for Don Owen in, I think, 86 or 87. And if you go on YouTube, there are a ton of really funny and cool Piper things from Portland that seems, well, not that that's not where his best stuff is, or some of his best stuff for sure. He had a great feud with Playboy Buddy Rose, one of my favorites, an AWA staple. And he did really great with Roy Shire in San Francisco. There's a few things like that are lying around. But he has some really, really cool stuff from Georgia's Championship Wrestling in Mid-Atlantic via the NWA sort of southern awesomeness that, you know, that I love so much and always talk about. He did great stuff with Ric Flair and, you know, Greg Valentine, and just was a great announcer with Gordon Sully, and did nothing but awesome stuff for the first, I guess, 10 years. I know he had an initial tryout with WWF that, you know, he tells a story that he brought his bagpipes out to play. He did a match with, gosh, who was it? Johnny Rods, and who put him over. But supposedly, as the legend goes, the evil heel. Fred, now you want to talk about a heel.
Oh,
Fred Blassie was one too.
Yes.
Fred Blassie supposedly put toilet paper rolled up into his bagpipe. So he went out and they wouldn't play. And he looked like, you know, if he goes out as a little guy and plays the bagpipes and then has a match, it's pretty weird and interesting. If he goes out and blows on bagpipes and they don't play and then he has a so-so match, it's a joke. And
sabotage him.
Right. He totally sabotaged him because Freddie Blassie is probably evil.
You pencil that geek.
That's an old school heel, you know, so I don't even know about him enough. But I pose a question to you because I just brought up the idea.
Okay.
And this is how great Piper is, and this is how we can best honor his beautiful career. Is Roddy Piper the greatest modern heel?
I believe so.
I think he would be the top drawing, technically, modern heel if the amount of time per, you know, meaning, okay, so he didn't have a long run, but the run he had for those 2 years was unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. And people in the business, including a Ric Flair, including a Triple H, will probably attest to the fact, and those are some of the biggest heels, arguably, in the modern era. And as if you remember from our last show, we described the modern era from Starrcade on,
right.
Starrcade 1. I believe, you know, for a guy like that, you know, he has maintained that. And everyone in the business will tell you that Roddy Piper is always the bad guy, always the villain. And even though people would cheer him as a face at times, they like Roddy when he's behaving badly, when he's, you know, and doing all the heels. Now, if you, you know, new wrestlers in the game right now, even current wrestlers, you know, the art of being a heel is being lost because they crave acceptance. Here's a guy that craved the heat. He wanted to be the villain. He wanted the negative attention. And if you weren't booing him, you know, he was going to do everything in his power to change that. And I think that is the thing that Roddy Piper had made some of the best impact in. And I think that if you're a new wrestler, you want to learn how to be a heel, just watch Roddy Piper and and listen to the way he would deliver. And you and I were talking about this before the show started recording. Dusty Rhodes, arguably the best talker in the business. See, arguably.
Maybe so.
Arguably the best talker in the business, talked people into the arena like no other. Ric Flair also in that category. And where Dusty Rhodes, and we talked about the music, the musicality, and I'll talk about it. I believe Dusty Rhodes is so musical. There is a rhythm, a cadence, the way he moves up and down, using his voice as an instrument and capturing people and exciting people. It was very musical. As you talked about, the promo when Dusty passed, about the pauses and the way that he would reference different lyrics from songs and pop culture. That's how I believe the American Dream was so good at delivering those promos. That was part of his style. What we talked about, Hot Rod, the word musical doesn't necessarily come about, but the visual aspect definitely played an important role in establishing his persona and really coming across to the TV audience, and possibly made him one of the first crossover wrestlers to become a movie star, to have that kind of that presence on TV. He was the perfect villain, the perfect actor, the perfect sports entertainer to come across the TV because his personality was so magnetic. No matter what he said, people were listening and watching him because he had that energy, and he transferred that energy from his body to the TV screen. Would you agree?
I think that Piper's arm movements, hand motions, and facials are better than anyone's. He was able to become an actor very easily. He acts very good in They Live. It's hard to find movie roles, you know. And they go, well, he had a lot of B movies. Well, it's hard to go to L.A. and Hollywood and find a bunch of movies to do. You know,
these B movies are spectacular.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he do a hard R one with Tawny Katane called Dark Tides or Dark Water? You know, he did a lot of stuff. I mean, look, for an actor, everybody's like, oh, God, he did some schlocky Cinemax movie. But to an actor, because I know actors and actresses as well from Nashville and from being married, it's like, he got a leading role. That's what that was. You know, that's hard to get. And he was actually able to get leading roles. I didn't see, I mean, The Hulkster, obviously, I have a negative impression of over the years. But I would put Piper's, you know, acting ability against Hogan's any day of the week. He was a lot more natural and a lot more likable. Really, you have five guys. You got Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Hulk Hogan, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Macho Man Randy Savage. Those five people, everyone knows them. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, I know him. I think for Macho Man, it's from the Slim Jim commercials. I think from Hogan, it's from his whole, you know, whatever, 80s thing. Stone Cold and The Rock got very popular in the 90s and 2000s, and, you know, Rock took off. But Piper just singularly did it from his incredible heel work in 1984 and 85. He just did it, and then he parlayed that into a... He was such an awesome heel that when he came out and he did his final match, which is kind of funny, in 1987 at WrestleMania 3 against Adrian Adonis... He wins the match, and the crowd gives him a standing ovation, not for winning the match against Adrian Adonis. They were giving him a standing ovation because they were not, that's a big standing ovation, 90,000. They're like, you're incredible. You have mesmerized us for 3 years straight. You are an incredible performer. You are an incredible heel. Thank you. And they just all, that's what they were doing. It's a very touching moment. It's the most touching thing I can think of in his career. He looks touched when he looks up at the crowd, which is amazing. Only Freddie Mercury, who I admire so much, had that sort of ability to be in front of 80,000 people and connect in an emotive way. It's almost impossible to do. That's one of the best moments of that WrestleMania. You know, They Live, great movie though. You gotta give it up to Carpenter for taking a chance with somebody who's a wrestler. I think he knew he had natural acting chops. I also wanted to point out his line, I've come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
The best.
That was actually his line. He had a notebook, and Carpenter said that he was just reading this notebook full of stuff he would just write on the road all the time. And he read it in the notebook. I've come here to, you know, kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum. And that's the line everyone remembers.
Yeah, it was a great movie as well.
That's not a B-movie, by the way. That's just a good horror movie. That's a good movie, yeah, sci-fi movie, good. Whatever.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he had a lot of other things going on for him. I mean, obviously the sports entertainment aspect is something we're going to talk about. But in terms of pop culture, there's a very short list of sports entertainers, professional wrestlers, if you will, that had the type of pop culture significance that Roddy Piper had. For example, Saturday Night Live, you know, Mad TV, right, just to name a few. Outer Limits TV show, RoboCop the series, you know. And look at some of the stuff. Of course, They Live, which is a modern day classic. Hell Comes to Frogtown.
That was a second one.
Yep. Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you know. Just really, really cool stuff. And if you find this, awesome, because in 2007, Piper became the second pro wrestler other than Sergeant Slaughter to have their likeness crafted on a G.I. Joe action figure. On his file card, Piper was a trainer for Destro's Iron Grenadiers, which was awesome.
Destro's awesome, that, too.
Yeah, if you can figure that out, if you can find it, that's awesome. But one of my favorite things that he did was actually wife swap with Ric Flair on ABC. Did you ever see that show?
I did. Well, you know me and my TV habits. I didn't see it. I've heard a lot about it.
It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Now, they didn't literally swap there.
Well, what they actually did was, you know, they swapped families, and they had to, you know, the families had to react to the rules. Ric Flair had to go to Piper's family and learn how Piper acted in the family and the rules. And then he had to then impose his will on the family in terms of the rules of the house. So if you haven't seen it, I may try to put that in the show notes, but it is on YouTube, and it is definitely worth a viewing, just because you get to see the antics of the legendary Ric Flair as well as Roddy Piper. The two of them have a mutual respect for each other.
They love each other.
Yeah, that was very obvious in Ric Flair's podcast from a couple weeks ago. But it's definitely worth mentioning. What a great charismatic figure, the Hot Rod. So as we talk about our match of the week, as we talk about the promo of the week, what did you have in mind for the match of the week? Because I already have one that's in mind for me.
Honorable mention match of the week. I know the IWC loves this match.
Okay, go for it.
Is Roddy Piper versus Bret Hart, and that's from WrestleMania 8. I think that's the one you were thinking when you said 9.
That's the one I was talking about.
It's in the Hoosier Dome, and he actually jobs, which is shocking, because there's no televised Roddy Piper job before that. Fucking find one. Seriously.
try to.
Find Roddy Piper job 1, 2, 3 for me before 1992. I know he did it at a couple of houses. Go ahead and find the tape. I don't know where it is. I've never seen it. And I've watched a lot of stuff. Okay. fine match. But the real greatest match of all time is with Greg the Hammer Valentine, 1983 Starrcade. To be honest, they stole the show, which ain't easy when you got Harley Race and Ric Flair in a main event. You know what I mean? You got a Steamboat and Youngblood. You got the deck stacked, and they stole the show. It was such a good match that Vincent McMahon stole him, for his company to be a manager, actually, of David Schultz and Paul Orndorff, which is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Eventually, that turned into the magic that was Hogan Piper. But it's just a completely brutal match. I was saying earlier, I was saying this to someone earlier. I think it puts any ECW match to shame. Because it's brutal, but the psychology is there. And what? The facial expressions, all of those sort of things. And the legitimate danger that Greg Valentine actually presents people, probably. I'm not a big fan of Greg Valentine's 80s matches. They're kind of boring and stiff. But this match, Piper knows exactly how to play into his insanity. What's really scary about this bloody ass match with his, supposedly he lost his hearing in his eardrum. Now, look, that might be a work, but you know what? He's such a good worker. We'll never know. As far as everyone knew, he lost his hearing, but they did a loop of matches with the dog collar. Did I say chain match? It's a dog collar match. Can't believe it.
Yes.
That's silly.
Well, there was a chain involved.
Compare it to the Rusev Cena match we recently watched. It literally would look like me and you doing a match, and then some wrestlers would do it right after us. That's the level of difference in the two. The brute. I mean, obviously there was blood involved, but these guys were really getting hurt.
Yes, and we would be the worst of the two. Okay, let's make a mistake.
Yeah, we would be the worst of the two. I didn't say we'd be a good match, but...
Unless, of course, the Young Bucks are doing it, so I'm sorry.
The Young Bucks are a fine young team.
That was just a joke. That was just a joke.
That is the sassiest two guys. They're so sassy. I really like them. Anyway.
Yeah, so, well, like I said, I mean, it's worth checking out. A lot of shoot videos. We're going to talk about the wrestling news here momentarily, but yes, the dog collar strap match, whatever you want to call it, between Valentine versus Piper is going to be our match of the week. Our promo of the week, we have a couple different things we could promote. One of them is going to be one of my favorites. It's actually one of Roddy Piper's, if I'm not mistaken, last promos that he cut against Chris Jericho for WrestleMania 28.
Hey, I don't know that one. I mean, them WrestleManias, what was the last one, 30?
That's 30, 31.
And so that was like 20. Twenty-six.
Yeah, right.
It's between 25 and 30. I guarantee everybody that.
Well, it was from 2009. So it's
from 24, 25. I don't know, Dal John.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so it's the leader, one of the promos. One of the promos leading up to it. So you'll get to see that he definitely made that match, and Chris Jericho actually pontificates on it on his podcast as well, working with the legend that is the Hot Rod.
Yeah, I believe Jericho said that he was a little upset they cut his time too. I can understand. Yeah. I always wondered why that was a little short.
Well, you know, unfortunately, some of the old timers can't go, Snuka wasn't as mobile.
No.
And Piper too, case in point, just several years prior to that, as he was working as a WWE legend, was hospitalized due to cancer.
Yeah.
So he's a cancer survivor, and he came back, and he still, he still didn't miss a beat. He tried to do the very best, but I believe it was on WWE to protect the Hot Rod.
Yeah.
And to protect Jimmy Snuka as well. Now, Steamboat did a lion's share of the work and came back for a very, very, very brief run, Steamboat, and very, very effective Ricky Steamboat was. But wow, was that awesome?
Yeah.
To see them back in the WWE ring and A lot of memories, Hot Rod. We wish you all the best. Rest in peace, brother. And you know that, you know, people can still listen to his rants and raves, if you will, on his podcast. That'll still remain up. So please check out the podcast. And before we get into the rest of the wrestling news, including a little bit of the table for three, we will play a little bit of that promo later on in the program. So we have a lot we need to talk about. Before we get into all, go ahead.
Let me say one more thing that I think is important about him, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 1996, he had this match with Hogan they set up over the course of a couple of months at Starrcade, and then he had a couple of rematches, Super Bowl and then Halloween Havoc 97. There's nothing greater in the world than somebody who's great at something, and now they're too old to do it, right? Everybody says they're too old. Vince McMahon doesn't want him in the ring anymore. And he came back out and was easily the top babyface in wrestling for years as they built up to Starrcade 96. Here he is in his later 40s, if I'm not mistaken, became the number... If you didn't see it live, you might not believe it because the internet and WWE changed history. I promise you. The promos he was cutting, the way they played the angle, Hogan, to his credit, played a perfect bully to Piper's I'm going to fight from underneath guy. There's nothing greater in the world than somebody who everybody said, well, he's too old to wrestle, comes back and has the best feud main event of the entire year. And I think that's one of the greatest things he ever accomplished, was to pull that off at that age. You know, he really deserves a lot of credit because he'd been in Hollywood and hadn't wrestled actively for really almost 10 years. For him to come back and do that, I have a lot of respect for him because he didn't need to do that, but he did it. Because he loves wrestling.
Yeah, I agree. So very, very good stuff. Very, very good stuff there from the Hot Rod. And very good observation. I would expect no less from me, Steven. So,
well, he's awesome. A heel like me, so we stick together.
You have that in common with the Hot Rod, for sure.
I sure do.
Definitely good stuff there, without a doubt. Before we get into some more great news about the Hot Rod, as well as our headlines of the week, a little bit of SummerSlam, WWE news. Look out. I would like to announce right here that we have a brand spanking new affiliate to talk about, a supporter of the show, and that's WWE Shop. Now, how awesome is that, right? So finally, by the time you hear this, hopefully, we'll have a link to WWEshop.com. Use our link specifically because everything you buy WWE related, whether it's a Hot Rod tribute shirt, whether it is a Suplex City shirt, whether it's a replica belt, whether it is videos, that would be amazing. So please use the link in the show notes, use the banner and the link on ProWrestlingCast.com. And save money on the stuff you're going to get from the WWE. And I could not be happier. It is so awesome that this stuff is going on. I'm so happy and excited to be part of it.
Well, you know, the great thing to buy from them is Roddy Piper's 3-disc set. There are so many of these great interviews and matches on that.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you can use our exclusive coupons online at our website at ProWrestlingCast.com, which I will be posting soon. $5 off $35 or more using our specific code. $10 off $70 or more. $15 off a purchase of $100 or more. $25 off a purchase of $150 or more. So a big, big old opportunity for you to save big using our specific exclusive links on ProWrestlingCast.com. And I will place that link to our website below and our link to WWE Shop. And we appreciate the WWE for their support of ProWrestlingCast.com. So without any further ado, here is this week's headline news. And Mr. Stephen Anthony, Big Show, of course, a tribute for Roddy Piper on the WWE Network was amazing. They had that great package as a tribute to the Hot Rod, and the tribute on Raw was just really, really great. I think the WWE makes tributes like no other.
Sure.
And we had a very special thing that I didn't see coming, but Table for Three on the WWE Network, featuring WWE legend and Hall of Famer Mean Gene Okerlund, Hall of Famer Roddy Piper, and legend. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. He is a Hall of Famer. Okay, yes. Just making sure.
Oh,
making
yes. Sure. Yes.
I know he's got to be a Hall of Famer, I would think. But
if he wasn't a Hall of Famer, he would beat somebody up for not being a Hall of Famer and then being.
And that's a shoot.
that's a shoot.
So what did you think about Table for Three?
Look, I'm a huge Paul Orndorff mark. As I told you, our controversial show on greatest, whatever it was, of all time, Angles or whatever. So to see him with his handlebar mustache was a delight. You know,
what a villain in wrestling history.
It's a curly Q. Hold on, I'm being corrected. It's a curly Q mustache. I apologize.
All right, there's very Snidely Whiplash of him.
Snidely. Piper was very lucid. He was very relaxed. He sounded really good. And I guess that will go down as his last promo released, in a sense. I don't know if it's. Maybe there was something else. But anyway, if that's the last thing we see of them, it was beautiful. They have a great story, which I just watched a really cool thing from Kayfabe Commentaries, the history of WWF 1984. And Piper told the same story about being arrested because him and Morocco had crashed a car and there was a train and the train tracks and they got a hotel and the police had to arrest somebody and he got arrested for loitering. And he said, I don't remember how I got bailed out. And Paul Orndorff raises his hand and he says, I bailed you out. And he goes, that's right. And he goes, thank you, brother. And he goes, you're welcome. It was a really touching moment between two crazy people, you know, who had seen it all. And so great to see Orndorff still doing well. I just watched that awful, I forget the pay-per-view. I have this weird thing where I watch these really bad WCW pay-per-views. I make Terry watch, like with Russo sometimes. And it was the one where Orndorff got the stinger. Do you remember that? It was a Natural Born Thrillers and Orndorff. And anyway, it was not a great pay-per-view. But, you know, he was still actively wrestling then. And it's great. He looks like he's in pretty good shape. He kept eating
mean. Still with us?
He's what? What's that?
I said you were breaking up on us, so I switched to audio only. So you're talking about...
Right. Oh, the Orndorff kept eating Mean Gene's food. Did you notice that? I thought that.
Oh, was yeah. He kept on picking off the plate. He's like, hey, Gene, are you going to have those potatoes?
He seems really hungry. Maybe
he's got a metabolism.
Yeah, he's got a hell of a metabolism. You know, it was really cool to see him after we had talked about that great feud in 86. You know, if we would have done that show about greatest feuds angles of all time now, we would probably have to say Piper versus Hogan. I mean, I guess that's an obvious thing. I think it's so woven into Americana.
Well, yeah.
We don't even think about it. But I mean, well, you know, the guy kicks Cyndi Lauper in the head. Jesus Christ.
Well, I will say this. If you go back to our show, it was, I guess, the most influential wrestling angles. Okay. And a lot of that can be turned into feuds. Now, when we do our show based on the best feuds of all time.
Right. Okay.
That would definitely qualify. You know, a lot of people are like, Al John, you and Steven missed the mark. You guys didn't even talk about, you know, you didn't even talk about HBK. You didn't talk about HBK versus everybody. You didn't talk about Piper Hogan. You didn't.
I gave that an honorable mention, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, there are those times when the lines blurred, and I'm sure we'll, you know, that's why we have this show, is that because we're going to talk about these things ad nauseum. We're going to continue to talk about the best wrestling angles. We're going to continue to talk about wrestling's best villains, which I think would be an awesome show to have after WrestleMania, which we'll probably have to get some of our wrestling friends involved in that.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And that would be interesting to see who comes out on top as the best wrestling villain of all time. Who would be on your Mount Rushmore of wrestling villains? I believe wholeheartedly that everyone should put Roddy Piper at least in their top four, if not top two, wrestling villains of all time. So
it would be hard to say Flair ahead of him because of Flair's amount of babyface work, but
right.
See, I can't think of a bigger heel than Flair in the modern era. I think Harley, if we had clips of him from the 70s, I bet we'd probably think he was, but we don't. we don't see it because those tapes have been dubbed over. Mm-hmm. That's why we call it the modern era, because after 83, everything's pretty much on tape. You can watch everything. AWA, right. USWA, whatever goofy thing. You watch Doug Gilbert shoot on Bert Prentice, whatever you want to do. But right. Watch The Undertaker a million times fight Kane. But before that, you know, it's kind of a gray area. But, you know, if he ushered in what it is to watch wrestling, you know, I mean, Hulk Hogan fought King Kong Bundy. The show kind of sucked. Hulk Hogan fought Roddy Piper or Andre the Giant. There was a shitload of people watching and a shitload of people in there. You know, and then when he fought, you know, Earthquake, it wasn't as big of a draw. It's really about the heel a lot of the times. You know, I'd have.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, and let's look at Andre Hogan for a second. I mean, when you look at Andre Hogan, you had the mouthpiece, which was Bobby Heenan, really.
Right.
You know, Bobby Heenan really helped sell that match. But when you look at Hogan Piper, you know, you look at two people who are evenly matched, you know, by casual wrestling observers, right?
Right.
They could talk. It was mano a mano. There was no outside interference. Well, there was, of course, but you know, when it came down to two superstars, there were none bigger in that beginning stages of the WWF's rise was Hogan Piper. And as we all know, a wrestling superhero is only as good as its villain, right? If there is no Superman, there can be no Superman without, you know, Lex Luthor. There can be no Batman with the Joker. There can be, you have to have that. There's no Luke Skywalker without Darth Vader. You have to have that big bad. And really, it's because of the bad guy that makes the hero's journey, that makes the hero that much better, that elevates the hero to the iconic status that they should be. It's the villain. Because if the villain is the one who raises the stakes, the villain is the one that causes the hero to take measures into their own hands, causes them to do things, unspeakable things that might cause them to break a character. It really is the villain, right?
Right. It makes the money. The villain makes the money. Look at what McMahon had signed from AWA, by the way, at that first TV taping. Piper, Dr. D. David Schultz, who was so psychotic they couldn't use him, I guess from slapping John Stossel, Mean Gene Okerlund.
That's why.
And Hulk Hogan. That's a pretty good little pickup. And they were at the next TV taping. I think it was in December 83. And that ended up being their top heels, top baby face, and lead announcer. They grabbed all of that. Watch their TV show in January 1983 and then January 1984. It's pretty staggering how different it is. Bob Backlund's on top. Vince McMahon is the announcer instead of Gene. There's no Piper. It's a lot different. Mm-hmm. And he was part of that wave that, you know, they ushered out Snuka. They, you know, they had to, for legal reasons we shan't get into.
Yeah.
Although that is still ongoing, and maybe one day we'll talk about that if that story ever gets anywhere, because it is at court. But I don't want to talk about things that haven't happened. You know, here we are talking about Piper the Great Heel again. The Table for Three show, I thought, was filmed really well. I think they used some really fine cameras for it.
Loved it.
Since we're on the topic of the network, I'm going to have to disagree with you. We don't disagree very often.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the show Swerved that you told me you like it, right?
I do like it. Yeah.
I watch about 5 minutes of it and I stop. I've done this twice now and I keep getting angry or something. I don't think I like shows like that. I think they're acting clearly, and you know,
well, I like Jackass. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, I do too.
It's Jackass starring wrestlers. It's a prank show, and I love prank shows. I don't know what it is about it, but I just get a kick out of it. So maybe I like the lowbrow humor, you know, and I like seeing the superstars in out of ring situations. Like, I like Total Divas. You may not be a big fan of the Total Divas show, but I'm a big fan of the Total Divas show. So I mean, it's good that we disagree, but it is catered to a different, you know, kind of audience. And I think probably, you know, for my money, I think it's a great attempt at the network at different types of programming to show personality of superstars that aren't in the main event, you know?
Yeah. So now they do Kofi and Barrett and Ziggler, and they give them a shot out there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's, I think that's the whole point. I think that's really the whole point, is that in this era of the sea of mid-carders, this is a great opportunity for those people to show more of what they have to offer the WWE universe. They have a lot more personality. So Table for Three is definitely a must watch. You did must dig watch. Swerved. The Table for Three is a must watch. And to see those three legends, and I'm so happy they were able to capture that real, you know, kind of interaction between the three. They've been up and down the roads. They're all veterans. They're all considered boys. They've paid their dues. And to hear them talk, and not in a shoot video style, but this is the stuff that I'm talking about the network needs. They're sitting around a table. They're having real frank discussions. They're reminiscing about old times. That programming and the way they shot it, as you said, is definitely what we want out of the WWE network. And having someone like a Gene Okerlund, it would be perfect to let's do that. Let's bring the legends together and share stories. If you were to choose another three to be in Table for Three with a moderator like Gene Okerlund, or any moderator for that matter, who would the next three be on your list if you had to cast it?
Well, the problem with that is a lot of people have just passed away and a lot of people are really sick. You know, I would want to see Harley Race talk, but he, you know, he's pretty sick, for example. And, you know, Dusty's somebody I would want to watch, and he's gone. So it's,
well, for the legends that are still here, or maybe not even legends, but who would you want to see in a Table for Three?
I'd like to
I'll put it to you like this. How cool would it be to once again just bring back a Flair, J.J. Dillon, Arn Anderson conversation?
Well, I would watch that, but I watch that a lot anyway because I listen to his podcast.
Right.
By the way, I'm shocked Arn Anderson hasn't been on Flair's show yet. Are you as shocked as I am by that?
You're exactly right. I am shocked, and it may be a situation where the WWE has not given him permission to go on his show.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not
because Arn Anderson, I believe, is still an agent for the WWE.
Very much an agent. He's back there talking. And yeah, I mean, Flair is dangerous. Flair is straight up dangerous. The things he says are dangerous.
Yep.
He's constantly dangerous.
Yeah, and well, you see, everybody was thinking Ric Flair was being bantered about for being a judge on Tough Enough, and I said, hell no, that is a liability on live television, and that is an accident waiting to happen. And for those people that didn't believe me, well, you know, I was right. I was freaking right.
Well, he's so crazy, he changed his vote on a live TNA, similar type of show, forgot who it was for, and they had to actually sign the guy.
It was gut check.
Right, gut check.
Yeah.
In the glory days.
Anyway. Yeah. Right. So yeah, back when the Dr. Tom Pritchard era. So you've got the remaining horsemen. You know, I would love to see, if we're talking about old timers. You know, how cool would it? Well, I mean, go ahead.
I would love to see Bob Backlund in a act normal. You know, and just be.
I don't know if that's possible because he lives that gimmick.
Yeah, but he has like different gimmicks. He's kind of got like babyface Bob. Nothing beats heel Bob Backlund. That's the greatest shit of all time, by the way. Not the goofier version now, who was screaming at Vern Gagne's funeral. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh yeah,
he started cutting a promo during the eulogy. I don't know what that was all about, but that's okay. But I'm talking about the Bob Backlund in 1994, maybe the best modern era, in the sense of one of the best 90s heels. Nobody was watching at the time, but his heel turn and then miraculous win of the title at Survivor Series, and what is one of my favorite matches, Bret Hart versus Bob Backlund submission match. A lot of the IWC doesn't give it enough love, but it's, buddy, it's awesome. There's one spot. It may be the greatest spot in any match ever, Al John. Bret, it's early in the match. They're in the center of the ring. Bret Hart gives Bob Backlund a standard headbutt. Bob Backlund takes a bump in the center of the ring. He rolls all the way out of the ring and up the ramp. He just keeps rolling. He takes a headbutt. You understand? He rolls out of the ring, hits the floor, and continues to roll up the ramp. And the whole time he's going, whoa, 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 whoa. And I don't know why he would think to do that. It's the greatest it's thing I've ever seen, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen stuff like I remember what you're talking about. It brings a chuckle, but you know, it's very much that kind of Owen Hart kind of crazy shit that he would pull.
Yeah, him and Owen were great together, and Owen's great in that match, and Martha Hart's in it, and it's all kind of cool stuff. And Brett loses, and everyone is shocked, and Bob Backlund does this incredible promo after, and celebration really in the ring, and so good. So I would love to see Bob Backlund talking in a normal way, if he could, about what he did. I'd like for them to talk to guys they don't really know a lot. I mean, look at the, you know, they did a lot of really good stuff with the old school talking to people on the on-demand WWE Network. I really like
the Legends of Wrestling.
That was a great show. I would wait for that to show. You know, yes. That was back when we get 16 shows a month. It's funny looking back at that. But and they really do offer you so much more now. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to plug them. Their network is awesome for the money. I mean, it's unbelievable how much time I watch them. But
the Table for Three, I think, is a great opportunity for WWE to continue on and bring us their style of what they would call a shoot video. A nice, well-produced, laid-back discussion where they're not playing their wrestling character, where they're just being themselves. Right. That I think is going to be the most difficult thing for people to capture, because I feel that so many of the wrestling personalities of that era are going to maintain kayfabe. They're going to maintain character. I think someone like Jake the Snake would be a good character, would be a good person, because he can keep it real. But I don't necessarily think that a Diamond Dallas Page per se would necessarily be the best person to put on that panel, because he's always selling something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like he's so much of a promotional machine that he just can't relax and do like a Steve Austin. Steve Austin would be an incredible person to have just talk, because he can be himself, you know? I believe that Jim Ross obviously can be himself. He's just himself. I believe a Ricky Steamboat could be himself. I believe Steamboat a Jake the Snake. Yeah, Steamboat would be great. I believe, Kevin Nash obviously can be himself, you know, but those people, like, I don't know if a Bob Backlund would allow himself to not be one of his characters. I think Mick Foley would be amazing to have.
I've seen them do something like that on a Beyond the Mat bonus feature with him and Ventura and Blaustein. It was really good. That's probably where they stole the idea from, actually. Mm-hmm. That was 12 years back. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's definitely great. So, well, awesome. So definitely much catch on the WWE Network. Something else that happened in the WWE Network a few days ago that's worth mentioning is a Stone Cold podcast. Steve Austin, I believe, was actually scheduled to interview the Immortal One, Hulk Hogan. But at the last minute, he got involved in a controversy, pulled, and then Paige took his place. Of course, that is a rumor, but I believe there's a lot of truth to that rumor that Hulk Hogan was actually supposed to be on the podcast. Did you hear the same thing?
Yeah, Hulk Hogan was supposed to do the podcast, and then they had to get someone at the last second. But, I mean, I would have loved to watch the Hulk Hogan podcast with Steve Austin now.
Yeah.
So things have been weird this week. You know, it's kind of a bad week. Don't really know what you want me to ask you. You know, Hulk Hogan in a shoot situation, you want to talk about a guy that he's always on the work.
Yes.
He's always working. So you can, I don't even know if Hulk Hogan's, I don't know if Terry Bollea is real anymore. I think it's just Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know?
That's another guy that, you know, I'll put it to you like this. When it comes to Hogan, I think he had the closest thing that he had was, I believe, that interview with Jericho. I think that
was good.
Hulk Hogan Jericho is a great interview.
Yeah.
And I was hoping something like that would happen again, where he was just Terry Bollea and not Hulk Hogan. But instead, we have Paige. Okay. What are your thoughts on how this interview stacks up, and how did you feel it delivered?
It wasn't good enough for me. I guess I got used to the Vince and the Stephanie and the Triple H and stuff we've seen with Jericho and Austin on this segment, and I got very excited. Once it started, I could see she was completely nervous, and to be honest, is a 23-year-old girl. And I don't know how much Steve Austin can really relate to a 23-year-old girl. And I think the major problem is she doesn't have a lot of career stuff that's happened. I think that was all. I think if you interviewed anybody else, it would have probably been a better choice. I guess they chose her because of the Divas Count kind of movement. Steve Austin seemed kind of, I've never seen him like that. He seemed kind of like not nervous, just kind of like unsure of himself and where to go with it. I wouldn't say she was flirting with him. She seemed to be a big fan of his, which made him feel awkward.
She fanned out. She marked out for Austin.
So that didn't help. At all. So he's like, "Yo, dude, I'm trying to interview you. We got to do this, okay?" You know. And
No. I think. Okay, go ahead. I'll continue because I've got words. So go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, do you think, hold on, Terry watched it. Terry, do you think that Paige wanted to kiss Steve Austin, or was she just flirting because she's young? Terry says she wasn't flirting. She was just excited because she was a big fan. But here's the thing I find interesting. She would have been 3 or 4 years old when he was big. So I don't, you know, maybe she watched that stuff very young, which, you know, I certainly watched a lot of weird stuff when I was young.
Right.
But like, I'm 10 and I'm watching, you know, Slayer, you know, in NWA, you know, so I don't have any room to talk. What were your thoughts? You seem to have.
Well, I do. And yes, I feel that, you know, the podcast was very entertaining for me because, first of all, I'm a Paige fan. I do like Paige a lot. I think that she's got a lot to offer this industry. I think she's a great personality. She did mark out with Steve Austin very early on that I do believe Steve was trying to overcome the fact that she said, like, I used to, you know, love you and I emulated a little bit of my character of what you were being a BMF, integrating it into my character that she doesn't take any shit from anybody. And, but I did, I was waiting for Austin to start blushing because, you know, what do you say when a pretty young girl says that, you know?
No sell it like he did. Yeah,
and he no sold it. You're right. He no sold it. I was waiting and he no sold it. And he was like, well, yeah, okay, good. I appreciate the fact that you appreciate my character. And they spent a lot of time talking about her growing up and her crazy wrestling family. It seems like if you're in a wrestling family, your family's going to be very crazy. So here's the thing. I have conducted in my professional radio career, and it continues to this day as I podcast over a course of almost 20 years, 2,600, 2,700 interviews, at least. And when you talk to somebody and you try to establish that rapport, there's a couple things that you do. I mean, in the pre-interview, you can talk to the person and kind of get a feel of who they are, but you don't want to give too much away because you want to save the tasty bits for the actual interview as it airs, especially when it's a live show.
Right.
You know, and I host live programming all the time. So you wanted to just get a taste of the personality and find out how to bring the best from that person. And as Stone Cold tried to navigate his way through this interview, you know, he did his very best, and I believe he still did very good. I mean, was it my favorite of those podcasts? No. This would probably actually, but I do believe that there are moments of this show that bring it up a notch over the Stephanie McMahon interview, for example, that Chris Jericho did.
Right.
So it's not the very least, is it? You know, but I found it very entertaining, and it's very difficult for Stone Cold, as I believe him to be, a natural at interviewing and at the art of radio or just personality in general. I do believe that he had a little bit of trouble kind of negotiating through that interview. And Paige was very, very excitable, had so much energy. It's very difficult as an interviewer to try to calm that energy and focus that energy and bring it down a level to have that conversation. And it took him a little longer to kind of get that energy and control it. And for an interviewer, that's a very important thing and an art that that he has to learn how to master. It doesn't come overnight. You have to be able to take the interviewee and tweak that energy so that it works well for both of you of what you're trying to accomplish. So that's the hardest thing, I think, for probably for you as a viewer to kind of understand and kind of get into. And that's probably why you're a bit turned off by it,
right?
Is because of that energy level that Paige brought, that excitability, and Stone Cold trying to be a little bit hard hitting, trying to be a little edgy, but still trying to rein it in.
Right.
And that's what a lot of the IWC had a problem with. And it's like, oh, the Paige interview sucked, or I didn't like it, or blah, 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 blah. Well, IWC, that's the art of doing it and watching it and seeing it for what it is. And I believe that when you listen to the interview, I think you can hear it even more so than, because when you really listen to the interview, instead of watching it, you can hear it unfold and hear the nuances in the voice and hear him struggling and hear Paige trying to calm herself.
Yes.
Because it's difficult, man. She wanted to mark out so much, and she was so excited to be on with Stone Cold. Yeah. But dadgummit, wouldn't anyone be excited to be Stone Cold? If you're a wrestler that grew up in the Attitude Era, and most of these marks that are doing podcasts are definitely Attitude Era marks.
Oh yeah.
WWE marks for sure. Wouldn't you mark out for Stone Cold Steve Austin? I think it would be very difficult for people to hold their composure. And I know when I met WWE superstars, and I've met a few, that it was difficult for me to hold my damn composure. When I met DDP for the first time, it's difficult. You know, it's difficult to keep your composure. And I've interviewed so many people and superstars. I've interviewed Evanescence. I've interviewed people from comedy. I've interviewed TV stars and movie stars. And it's difficult to know what to say. So, granted, it may not have hit at all cylinders, but I could definitely take it for what it was. And I enjoyed it. I do want more of it.
Well, you have enlightened me. That's quite a point.
I think the person they want the most for the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast would be The Rock.
Oh,
I think
wow.
they'd be stupid as shit if they didn't pursue The Rock. They'd be stupid as shit if they don't try to get Mick Foley.
Sure.
And Ric Flair, of course. You have to be able to get those caliber superstars on, and probably the number one person at the end of the day that would be the best shoot of all shoots would be The Undertaker. If they were to get The Undertaker to break his character and to talk real talk with Stone Cold Steve Austin, that would be the best thing ever. I don't think Chris Jericho would be the one to do it. It would have to be Steve Austin.
I think The Undertaker is the greatest worker of the modern era, and that is why he wouldn't do it. Because he is the greatest worker. He will not break character. I've seen him do it once or twice where I saw him help a sick girl. Like, he's visiting a sick girl that had cancer. And you could see he was visibly annoyed there were cameras there. He just doesn't break character. He will not break character.
Well, Steve Austin and or Chris Jericho would be great to interview Shawn Michaels. Now, I know that the Shawn Michaels interview Shawn Michaels had been on both Stone Cold's podcast as well as Chris Jericho's podcast. And the difference is night and day. Chris Jericho made an amazing podcast with Shawn Michaels. It was amazing. It was great talk. It was real. And Shawn Michaels is one of those characters too that can be himself and still be captivating, you know, without being a character, without being HBK.
Right.
You know, and so those are just some people off the top of my head that would make an amazing interview. I think they'd be foolhardy to not get The Rock or try to get The Rock, because first of all, Rock and Austin would be an amazing interview for one. Rock and Jericho would still be also very much very good too, but because the two of them,
It would have to be Austin, because he's the only person that could handle that or talk to same level. Not handle it. Talk to him on the same level.
Sure.
Because he's the only guy that even knows a hair of what that's like. Because that's got to be crazy to be that over, and then everybody wants you in major movies, you know.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. It is definitely something that would be relatable. So there's some discussion topics for you. WWE Network also, I'll have to mention this, amazing NXTs. You know, watching Samoa Joe on the WWE Network has been a treat.
Oh, yeah.
Finn Balor continues to deliver on such an outstanding level. And just the show itself continues to be amazing. NXT.
They've sold out that Brooklyn show. They got 13,000 tickets sold. That's an amazing. That show's not on TV. 13,000 tickets sold.
It's WWE once again has a major hit on their hands. You know, the Divas division continues to deliver on WWE television. I'm actually very impressed by this past Monday. I'm still waiting for more opportunities for actual storylines to come up, other than, you know, seeing the girls and their teams kind of combat it out. What are the stakes? What are the stakes here? Yeah. Please let me know, because as much as I like the technical side of the wrestling and the fact that they can go, I do believe that there needs to be something at stake. You know, they could bring back the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships, which I know shouldn't happen, and do Freebird rules. They can do that if they wanted to, do Freebird rules, because they did do a expose on the top five most, what was it? Tom Phillips did a top five on WWE.com, which was the most forgotten belts or something like that. The most forgotten championships, one of them being the Women's Tag Team Division Championship.
So they had a really great Japanese babyface tag team in the early 80s. I forgot their names, but belt, Jeepers Creepers.
Yes, and they were the ones that held the belt.
That was okay. So, maybe it was just for them. Yeah, I can't remember their name. Who is that?
I'll have to remember. But at any rate, great stuff there. Steven, let's talk some more. Well, anyway, yeah, the lead up to SummerSlam has been a slow burn. Divas division has still been paying off for me. And just as much as I enjoy Orton versus Cesaro versus Kevin Owens, in the fact that John Cena is out of the main event, recovering from his nose getting bashed hardcore.
That was awesome.
By Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
I think is quite interesting. I think it's quite interesting.
I think they're very nervous that Orton will have to take his place. I mean, they're obviously nervous that he will actually have to take his place. And just remember, if he takes his place, he'll probably win the title. Remember that babyface rule we talked about? Mm-hmm. Baby face of equal or lesser value rule. Well, the baby face always wins if he has to be replaced. So I could see Orton winning the title and losing it back. Orton's probably their top baby face if you really thought about it, heat wise. He's a great performer. Seeing Cesaro and Kevin Owens' job every week is pretty funny. I mean, they've killed off Owens. They were making references to him being fat, Orton was, but you know, I mean, that's Vince. I guess now we know why that he didn't get the rocket push. I think Vince just thought he was fat. You know, they're so awful to people that are gain weight or are fat. You know, the way they've treated the women in the past that have gained weight, or the Mickey James angle. I thought that was just so awful, calling her a pig and all those sorts of things. But they just don't like people that are fat. And, you know, remember when Vader got fatter and he said he was a fat piece of shit? It just reminds me of all that. But if anybody out there wonders why a guy that's having 4 to 4.5 star matches every fucking pay-per-view is getting jobbed out, it's because he's fat, you know? Now, I got to say this. Remember you said, oh, the Swiss thing, why don't you explain it? And I said, I don't know how. Remember that? You asked me about Cesaro a few weeks back.
Yeah.
His promo walking down the ramp with the sunglasses on, that's what I'm talking about. There's something about him that's just, it's not quite there. I know he's over on the internet.
No, he's not.
I don't feel like he's not a main eventer yet. He's just not there. And he jobs every week.
Well, he delivers in the ring, and I believe that in Tough Enough he showed a little bit more of his personality, but it's really, for me, it's a glimmer in his eye. It's that X factor that it is not connecting, and it is not connecting with me. I love to see Cesaro in the ring. I like to see him perform, but the other portion of the mic skills equation is not being fulfilled. His promos, he may feel, are heartfelt. However, I don't feel any type of emotion from them that engages me, that makes me want to tune in. I simply tune in to see him wrestle, and that cannot be enough for the WWE management. It just cannot be enough, and it isn't enough. You know, even Daniel Bryan has that comedic factor. He has that likability. You know, Cesaro, it's still a work in progress. We'll see how it unfolds. You know, Kevin Owens, his personality is boundless. The problem is his look. You know, what is it going to take for him to you know, to break that glass ceiling? He has the cardio. He can work for a big man, you know, but Vince doesn't see it, perhaps. And that's the whole point, you know.
It'll never work. He'll change his look and it won't be the same. He would be skinny Kevin Owens. Nothing would work. I think they've given up on it completely.
So what do you say, you know, when Samoa Joe gets called up, they have three big guys there on the roster. They've got a Bray Wyatt, they have a Samoa Joe, and then they have a Kevin Owens. They're all really big guys. Their shape is round. So what do you do? You know, how does it pan out?
Well, I've always been an ardent supporter of Samoa Joe, and I always will be. I mean, he's not what he was 10 years ago. But I support him wholeheartedly. I think he's excellent. I'm glad he's on NXT. I think NXT is the right place for him for a while. I would just keep him on NXT for a while. You know, I'm starting to realize that if Kevin Owens had stayed on NXT, this would all be better. Probably not for his pocketbook, but for Finn Balor to be in NXT still, that's fine with me, you know. Mm-hmm. Although he has a gimmick and a look that could actually make something, but you know, they were supposed to get him up, and I think they just decided to keep him in NXT as the champ. But I mean, NXT's drawing money to some degree with these shows, so you got to have a good champ. Sami Zayn's out with an injury, you know. That's who you have at the top. So I like Samoa Joe in NXT. Please don't bring him to the active roster. I'm begging you. Because he's going to job to Tyson Kidd, and you're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. This SummerSlam was looking pretty interesting as the card forms. We're going to have a Pro Wrestling Cast, hopefully, for predictions next week before we do our post-show analysis for the big SummerSlam main event. So, other wrestling news, you know, John Cena is still out, injury, that nose that got broken by Seth Rollins' knee. By the way, Seth Rollins' t-shirt is great. His brand new, you know, shirt where you can't see knee, like knee as in K-N-E-E, was very nice. I like that shirt. What other news do we have from the world of pro wrestling, Mr. Stephen Anthony?
Only thing that I'd like to mention is Triple A's Triple Mania. Had some technical snafus. They have apologized for it. The audio was horrible. Hugo Savinovich could barely be heard, leaving the dastardly Matt Stryker to sound like he was basically talking to no one. Well, he was talking to a ghost or voices in his head. Perhaps he hears voices in his head. They got the audio cleared up by the last two matches, which is great. But Mysticis has turned heel, which actually should be the huge news. That should be the big news. Rey Mysterio won. He did the La Mystica, a move that no one in the WWE could seem to pull off when Mysticis was Sin Cara in WWE. Nobody seemed to know how to do the La Mystica with him. Rey knows how to do it, and Rey did it to him, put him in a submission, and he tapped. They were attacked by some Rudos. They chased him off, and then, you know, Mysticis turned heel on Rey. And then they botched that because they didn't have... They weren't playing the video of them attacking, like him attacking Rey after the heel turn. So it was a disaster of biblical proportions for a first pay-per-view in the States by AAA. It's very sad because you have Conan, Del Rio, Sin Cara, Mysterio. This should have been an easy sell to get a couple of outside people in the American market, because you know that Wrestle Kingdom show we love so much that it said global for us. It was actually, you know, New Japan. That did a pretty healthy buy rate, you know, well above TNA's, you know, just from internet things. And, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura's and Tanahashi are now kind of over, you know, to a degree when they come to Ring of Honor or Okada, you know, they're over. Mm-hmm. And, AAA just unfortunately was, you know, technical snafus did them in. They put on a great show, and I think they're going to do another one in October. I might be wrong about that.
Let's hope they partner up with Jeff Jarrett in Global Force to actually put together a good iPay-per-view and a good pay-per-view with audio and things of that nature.
He's worked with them before, so he might.
He has. And that's the thing. You know, when you do a live broadcast, you only have one chance to do it. And I go back to Access TV. Okay, let's go back to Access TV and the Associated, the Alternative Press Awards. Man, oh man, was that a show that couldn't get their audio together and had to restart the show on live TV.
Right.
You know, this is Mark Cuban's network, and they couldn't get their shit together. And they didn't get their shit together until maybe 2/3 into the show. Live TV is a difficult thing to master. Partner up with a production company that can do yourself good. Otherwise, what you need to do is not have a live pay-per-view.
Right.
Do the pre-production or do the post-production somewhere else, because there is just too much at stake when you have that many names involved, you know? So
let me say one positive thing that alludes to our last show. Brian Cage had his head shaved by Alberto El Patron. Brian Cage had started the angle by knocking out El Patron and burying him in the American flag, just like the Bill Watts angle we talked about from our show.
Yes.
And at the end of it, his head shaving match, he buried Cage in the Mexican flag. So they used that same really cool flag burial angle that I was talking about last time. I just thought that was interesting because I haven't seen that done, and it just happened to do it on this show. So it should have been awesome, but it was not. Oh, and also we don't really have time to talk about it, but the Lucha Underground series finale.
Yes.
If I could just quickly say Vampiro's ass got set on fire for a pretty long time. I just wanted to point that out.
No, I thought it was a great
fire
show
for a while.
I thought it was a great show, and it was good to see Vampiro.
He's great.
It's good to see Vampiro. That was a great angle leading up to that, and it is worth a watch. Definitely check out Lucha Underground, and I believe Lucha Underground put highlights on their Facebook page, so you need to check that out as well.
You can watch the complete Vampiro match with the glass tubes, and he was on fire quite a while.
It was good stuff. I did enjoy it myself. A lot of great stuff going on in the world of professional wrestling. Definitely be sure to catch us on our pre-event show or that's going to be happening over the next week. We've got our picks for SummerSlam. We'll also hopefully have our post show, and we're going to expand the panel to some of our wrestling friends and some people that haven't been on the show before. And if you are a female and you enjoy professional wrestling and have a personality, you want to speak, you don't mind having your face on video, please email us at prowrestlingcast@gmail.com, because we'd love to have you be part of the panel as we look to have a little bit of diversity on these big panel shows. I think it would be great to have the female perspective other than our wives, because our wives love us, and they don't necessarily want to be part of the show, but we drag them in on occasion. So once again, before we play Roddy Piper and Chris Jericho in one of Roddy Piper's great last promos, if I'm not mistaken, I'll quickly remind everybody to like and subscribe our YouTube channel. If you hear a little bit of some glitching going on audio-wise, it's because we are broadcasting straight to YouTube using Google Hangouts. You want to make sure you catch the video version or the on-demand audio podcast available on iTunes for download. You can subscribe to the show, never miss an episode on iTunes, as well as Stitcher Radio, and stream it. We do appreciate it. We wish for better internet, so we also would appreciate you checking out our affiliates and our sponsors of the show. We've got Amazon.com as well as WWE Shop. You can click on our banners there for high spots as well. So we do appreciate WWE Shop stepping up and being an affiliate of our program and helping us out. Every little bit helps us out. If you shop using our links on ProWrestlingCast.com, a little bit of kickback comes to help us with the show so we can avoid technical snafus and better internet. Google Fiber, we cannot wait for you to come to Nashville. It's going to be great. So if you have a question or comment, feel free to engage us. You can send us that email at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com, social media, P Wrestling Cast on Twitter, and Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook. Mr. Stephen Anthony, any closing words? Any closing thoughts?
God bless Roddy Piper and all of these incredible legends who set the precedent for what we watch now. All of these great legends who really were amazing, mostly in the 70s and early 80s, are starting to pass away. It's really sad, and they are the reason I watch. So I just wanted to give it up for possibly the greatest heel to ever live, you know, and turned out to be one of the greatest wrestlers and baby faces, too, just because he was so good. He was the man, and he lived on the razor's edge, just like me. He wasn't afraid to be a wild boy. That's okay sometimes, okay? And that's what I got to say.
Right. Long live the Hot Rod.
Long live.
That's it here. That said, here is our promo of the week from WWE Raw, February 2009, Chris Jericho and the legendary Roddy Piper.
you get on television and you're running your mouth. You're calling me out. You're calling Flair out. You're calling the other legends out. You used to be entertaining. What happened? You're judging us. You patronize us. You tell us what we should be and should not be doing. Let me take one of your quotes. Please shut the hell up.
Sure, Piper. Dance like a puppet on the string. Make all of these fans cheer for you.
I'm not finished yet! Mickey Rourke is my friend. And I watched his movie, The Wrestler. And yes, I cried. The movie is not about a bunch of old timers that want another run. The movie is about the honor and respect we have for everyone. The movie is about the pain, physically and emotionally. And most of all, most important, why we do what we do? For the thrill of performing. Ric Flair was right. We live for this. I have people that come up to me and they say to me, "Hey, Roddy, we remember when you slapped Mr. T." And I have people come up to me and say, "When my granddad was alive, we watched you shave Adrian Adonis's head." And Chris, you want to bury these moments. No, these moments are to be celebrated. These moments. Last year, I was in the Royal Rumble, and when I came out in Madison Square Garden, 24,000 people jumped to their feet, and just for 1 second, Chris, I felt like I was back in the first WrestleMania. That was the thrill of a lifetime for me. I have one hip, and I hurt all the time. As long as these folks here say so, I will crawl down here on my hands and knees to give them one more memorable moment, because old school's cool.
Crazy stuff going on from Chris Jericho.
Yep.
And beating up the legend, the Hall of Famer, and now he'll be up there hosting a fine main event.
So God bless the Hot Rod, and thank you for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. For Stephen Anthony, the heel commentator, I am Al John Go, lifelong wrestling fan. I hope you enjoyed the show this week. Don't forget to tuck your head, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The views and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast. Now for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.